Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Processing the Pain with yours truly, Coach D. I want to welcome you in the studio on tonight. Thank you for taking the time to join us live in the studio. And for those listening in through the internet, I want to welcome you as well. Last week, we were not here due to technical difficulties, and it was placed on my heart that instead of fighting with the technical parts of this, trying to be in the studio, that we would just spend an hour to pray and pray for all the people that's going through the devastation and the destruction of all these natural disasters that's taking place around the world. And so we just took a time during that normal time for the show. We took time to just really pray for people and lift them up, because a lot of people are going through a lot of things. They're experiencing loss and devastation. They're losing their homes and cars and possessions, and a lot of people weren't prepared. And so tonight's show, Tuesday night, we talked about being prepared, disaster preparedness in the natural sense. So on Tuesday night, we spoke about how do you get prepared for a natural disaster. We don't know when natural disasters are going to come. In most cases, it's something that just comes upon us. Sometimes we have, you know, maybe a couple of days, maybe a week warning, letting us know that this is going to come. And still, even with the warnings, we don't know how it's going to play out. We don't know how a hurricane is going to play out and what parts of, you know, we knew it was going to hit Florida, but we didn't really know which parts of Florida. If it was going to be on the east side or the west side. And we don't really know until it happens, and we don't know what kind of damage that it's going to cause. So we always should be prepared. And in the natural, we spoke about some of the ways of being prepared is be prepared in and out of season. So even though it may not be a disaster in your part of the world or your city or your state, still be prepared. Be prepared according to the region that you live in. For example, those of us who live in California, we know that we're prone to earthquakes. So because we know that we're prone to earthquakes, then we should be preparing for things that could happen if an earthquake hits. So, you know, we may want to prepare to make sure that we have plenty of water, and we may want to prepare to make sure that we know a plan of exit from the building if the earthquake is a big earthquake and things begin to fall down around you and on top of you. What's your plan of escape for your family? You know, being prepared for a fire. Fires happen everywhere. If you're in your home and a fire takes place downstairs and you're upstairs, how do you get from upstairs? Have you prepared a way of escape? Have you went and got, like, maybe the ladders that you could throw out your window and your family could safely climb down the ladders to get away from the fire? These are the things that we need to think about. You know, some of the other things that came up in the course of a disaster was making sure you have plenty of water, making sure you have your medications. Have those things easily ready to grab if you have to escape quickly. Maybe you're making sure that you have your documents in a Ziploc bag so that if there's water involved, you don't have to worry about your documents being destroyed from water. Medication, alcohol. Rubbing alcohol is always a good thing. It's a disinfectant. You want to have that alcohol. You want to make sure you have sufficient amount of batteries, flashlights, canned food, generator if you could afford one. If you could afford a generator is always a good thing to have. They run on gas, on fuel. And so if you ran out of electricity during a disaster, then you have the generator. You know, you want to think about can opener and propane tank if necessary. You know, those are good, but a good but inexpensive turkey fryer for multiple use. You could use it for cooking or boiling water with no electricity. All you need is fire, so you want to make sure you have matches and blanket, the family disaster plan. You want to make sure that you have first aid kit, Band-Aids, and you know, medicine kit, so that if someone gets injured, you have some things that could help you through the injury. So these were some of the things that we discussed on Tuesday from a natural sense. These items are the things that you want to have and be prepared for disaster. Now, tonight, I'm going to talk about another disaster preparedness. And this disaster preparedness I'm going to speak about tonight is spiritual. Because while all these disasters are going on in the world, and somebody actually gave me a list of everywhere right now in the world, not just in the United States, not just in North America, but in the world, that just about every country is having some form of disaster. The continent of Africa, Sierra Leone right now is going through mudslides, and we got volcanoes going off, and we have fires throughout the world that's going on, and earthquakes throughout the world. And if you know anything about the Word of God, it speaks of these things. It speaks of these things throughout the Bible. Luke speaks of these things. And so it's not that these things should be, as believers, these things should not be a surprise to us. I think we become numb because ever since we could remember, at least for me, ever since I can remember, I've always heard the older folks say, you know, the world is coming to an end. Jesus is on his way. He's almost here. And we've been hearing this all of our lives. And I'm sure my parents and your parents and our parents and grandparents been hearing this all their lives. So we become numb. And the numbness is because we've been hearing it all our lives. I think that we get to a point that we don't believe it's going to happen. So we don't really believe that this is going to take place. And that's the best place that the enemy can have you. The enemy can have you in a state of denial. And that's the best place for him to have you, because if you're in a state of denial, then you're not going to be prepared. You're not going to be spiritually prepared for disaster. You're going to just keep on living your life thinking you have time. You know how it was when we were young. We thought, oh, you know what? I'm going to hit this party this week. I'm going to hang out at this party this week, and then next, I promise, Lord, tomorrow, Sunday, I'm giving my life to the Lord, and I'm giving everything up, because that's what our mentality was. That's what we were taught. We believed that you had to give everything up in order to give your life to the Lord. And so we just, you know, we went through that stage. But I want to tell you something. We've been saying it for many years, And God's timing is not our timing. What may be 1,000 years for us could be one day for God. But what I will say is this: know the Word of God. That's your first preparedness. Let's put that down on the first as a list. That's like in the natural, having flashlights. In the natural, if you have a disaster and things got dark or your electricity went out, you want to know that you have a good battery-powered flashlight. Same thing. The Word is your flashlight. You want to make sure that you know the Word of God, because if you don't know the Word of God, then you are going to become numb to what's going on. But let me go backwards. I'm going to go backwards a few steps here, because that's not the first thing you need. The first thing you need in spiritual disaster preparedness is salvation. Amen. You want salvation. So one of the things you want to do is, first of all, understanding what salvation is. Understanding what salvation is. And if you don't understand what salvation is, and believe it or not, there's a lot of people that say they believe in God, they believe in Jesus, they believe in all these things, and there's a lot of people that say that that's not even saved. Coach D, what do you mean? I mean that there's a lot of people that have not given their lives to Christ. They have not given their lives. They didn't know about salvation. They didn't know about the plan of salvation. And so we want to make sure, and the first thing is that you are saved. And we're going to start off with something simplistic. You may want to take notes. Tonight's show is going to be very basic. And the reason why it's going to be basic is because I don't care how much I know about the Word of God. I don't care how much many people know about the Word of God. We forget some of the basic things, and the basic thing is salvation, knowing that you know that you're saved. Because if you don't know that you're saved, then everything else I say from this point on would just be irrelevant to you. Knowing the Word of God means nothing if you're not saved, because then you're not going to even understand the Word of God. So let's just start off with the plan. Let's just start off with how can I be saved? And I'm going to take us to Romans 10 and 9. That's Romans chapter 10, verse 9. And Romans is in the New Testament of the Bible. So it's in the New Testament. And we're going to take you there. And Romans in the New Testament is right after Acts and right before 1 Corinthians. Denise, Coach D, why are you being so simplistic? Because I'm beginning to realize that many people do not know. And it's okay to be ignorant, to just not know. And I just want to make sure that all of us, myself included, that we could fix ignorance, because we could be taught. But I don't want any of us to be operating in stupidity or sabotage, because stupidity is you know, but you don't want to do better. That's being stupid. That's to know the word and know what it says and know what it requires and making a decision that you don't want to do it. That's stupidity. Ignorance is I don't know. I didn't know that that's how you get saved. I didn't know that Jesus is the Son of God. I didn't know that Jesus is the Word in flesh. I mean, those, if you don't know, you just don't know, and we'll learn. So I'm not going to take for granted that anyone that's listening in tonight knows. So I'm going to speak to you as if you don't know. And so we're going to go to the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 9. Again, the book of Romans is in the New Testament, and it's about the sixth book. It's the sixth book in the New Testament. Amen? So let's go there, and we're going to turn to chapter 10, and we're going to go down to verse 9. Now, this is the first thing that we should have on our list to prepare. We have a checklist, and we want to be prepared for spiritual disasters, just like we want to be prepared for natural disasters. We want to put things in priority. So right now, our first priority on the list is, how do I get saved? How do I know that I'm saved? And Romans 10:9 tells us that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, let's just break this down a little bit, because it didn't say if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you might be saved. You could be saved. It says, thou shalt be saved. It's done. Amen? Now, many people say, okay, well, I said that. Well, that's good that you said that, because that's needed to be said. But also I want you to understand that when it says confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart, there's some work there. Because everybody that confesses that they know Jesus is the Son of God ain't necessarily believing in their heart. What you mean, Coach D? What does it mean, really, to believe in your heart? Well, that's not just an intellectual thing, and most of us walk around intellectually because we said it, because it says confess with my mouth, so I confess with my mouth, and it said believe in my heart. Well, I believe I said it with my mouth. That's intellectual. Amen? So what we want to understand is more than just saying Jesus was a great teacher or even saying that Jesus was God's son. To believe means to trust him with your life, to give him our hearts and our soul, to be willing to follow him for the rest of your life. Gosh, I just want you to meditate on that. To believe means to trust him with your life, to give them your heart and your soul. In other words, the heart, the mind of man, the mind of man, not the heart that's just pumping blood, but the heart is the mind of man. So he wants you to give him your mind and your soul. That's your emotions. So he wants your emotions to be towards him. Amen? And he wants us to follow him for the rest of life. Now, that's how you know. That's how you know that you've confessed with your mouth, but not only was it a confession, it's a belief in the mind, the heart of man. And so when you know that you've done that, then you could say with assurance that I am saved. That I am saved. Now follow him for the rest of your life. It doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. And there's other scriptures. That's a whole other show on another night. But it doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect. It doesn't mean that you're not going to make mistakes. It does not mean any of that, because as long as you're in the flesh, that's going to happen. But what it's saying is that your heart, your intent should be towards God. You should not feel comfortable doing the things that you used to do once you get saved. You don't feel comfortable. Things that you used to do, you can't do no more. Because even when you do them, you don't even feel comfortable doing them. There's a conviction There's an inner urge inside of you that says, "Ooh, Lord, forgive me. I don't like the way that feel no more." Amen. So we're saying that the first thing on your spiritual disaster preparedness list is knowing that you know that you know that you were saved. According to Romans 10:9. This also should say that confess that Jesus is Lord. That simply means telling others. So you're confessing with your mouth. So you're confessing with your mouth. So you're telling others. You're supposed to begin to speak to others. Being a minister of the gospel doesn't mean that you had to go somewhere and get a certificate, a tag, and a label, and a bumper sticker to say you're a minister. Minister meaning to speak, to minister to. So when you get saved and you begin to read the word and you're studying the word, you're telling people about Jesus. That should be a part of your conversation. You're confessing that, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. I'm a Christian. I'm following Christ. And that's what Christians, people make it a big thing out of the term Christian. It wasn't, it's a lot of words. There's a lot of words that probably wasn't in biblical days that comes from the English language. And Christian simply means, before anybody gets you caught up in a pagan this and a pagan that, it simply means Christ-like. It simply means Christ-like. You're a follower and a believer in the teachings of Jesus Christ, the Holy Bible, according to the Word of God. So you're confessing this. You're letting people know. It simply means you're just following Jesus. Now people know about that you're a Christian, that you're following Jesus. You're confessing it. But not only just because you say that you follow Jesus and you're a Christian don't mean you're a Christian. Again, it's the evidence. It's the outward evidence. How your behavior. Your behavior is going to dictate what your words say. Now, let's just put the spiritual to the side for a minute. Let's talk from a natural standpoint, because we understand the natural, right? So how many of us have, how many of us have been involved in a relationship with someone, and they told you all these things? They told you that they, especially ladies, let's talk to the ladies really quick. And man, I'm not trying to put you down, but I'm just giving an analogy that many can relate to. But you meet this guy, and he comes on strong, and you begin to date, and he tell you that he's never going to cheat on you, and he's going to love you forever, and he's going to be a good husband to you. And he gives you this long list of things that he can and will do. 3 months into the relationship, you find out that he cheated. Which are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the evidence of what he said with his, or are you going to believe what he said with his mouth? Or are you going to believe the evidence of his behavior? Most of us is going to believe the evidence of the behavior. Because when a person shows you, then you know. So it's the same thing with us being Christians. We could say we're Christians all day long, but our behavior does not show that, then that doesn't mean anything. We have to show it in our behavior. That's faith without works is dead. Not the works that you've got to work for salvation, because you can't work for salvation. You can't do enough. You can't sell enough subscriptions. You can't say enough Hail Marys. You can't sell enough pies to buy salvation, because it's a gift. It's a gift. But it requires evidence in our behavior. So, again, these are the things we're talking about being saved. We're talking strictly just about Romans 10:9 right now. And we're talking about the act of confessing and believing in your heart. And some of us may need to say that prayer again. Maybe some of us might need to go back and say the sinner's prayer again, so that now we understand what that means. It's not merely just speaking out of my mouth. It's not merely saying I believe, but it's an act. It's an action. I'm confessing. I'm telling others. and I'm believing in my heart, in the mind. And how do I know that? Because I am giving my heart and I'm giving my soul to God. I'm following him for the rest of my life. He becomes the dictation of my life. I no longer become the dictation of my life. Now I want to take us to another good verse. Another good verse is Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Now, being simplistic again, Ephesians is also in the New Testament, and it comes right after Galatians and right before Philippians. And it's the 10th book. Yes, I'm counting. It's the 10th book in the New Testament. So we're going to go to the New Testament, go to the 10th book of Ephesians, and then we're going to go down to chapter 2, and we're going to go to verse 8. Now it says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift from God." Hallelujah. This is the good part right here. Why is this good? Because it's only by God's grace. It's only by God's grace and your faith. Hebrews 11:1 tells us, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, substance of things we hope for, and the evidence of things not seen. Let me bring that into the natural state. Let me give you an example. You've been believing God for a new home. You've been in your apartment for many years, but you've been believing God for a new home. You've been hoping for a new home. Lord, I hope I could get a new home one day. That's now faith. Is the substance of things hoped for. So you're hoping for this. And the evidence of things not seen. This is not something that you see yet. It hasn't manifest. So you're hoping for it. It hasn't manifest, but your hope is strong. That's faith. Because you have faith that this thing is going to manifest. So, again, for by grace are ye saved through faith. So even when you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you got to believe that by faith. Sometimes, you know, you may not look saved. You may not feel saved. But you have to know by faith that you are. I know that I'm saved. I know by God's grace that I'm saved through faith, my belief. But every day I don't feel saved. There's days that I don't feel saved. There's days that I blow it. And I don't know that there may be, I know that I'm saved, but there are times where I question certain behaviors that may arise, certain ways that I respond to certain things. Sometimes I'm like, ooh. But I have to remember by faith that according to the word of God, on which I stand, that I am saved because of the word of God tells me that I'm saved. And because of the word of God is giving me commandments and things to follow. And I am making an effort and an attempt to make sure that I follow the voice of God, the commands of God. And when I blow it, according to the word of God, it says when I blow it, that I'm supposed to repent and turn away from it, that I'm forgiven, ask for forgiveness. So that's what the word of God tells us. So, again, Romans told us that we confess with our mouth and believe in our hearts. And then Ephesians come back and follow up with that says, for by grace are ye saved through faith and not of yourselves. In other words, it's a gift from God. You didn't do, you made the confession And you made the choice to believe by faith. But it's a gift from God. It's by God's grace. Amen? So it tells us in Ephesians that it's by God's grace that we can't earn salvation, as I was telling you. That's what grace means. It's God's unmerited favor. There's no reason. There's nothing that we've done that we deserve favor from God. But God's grace is sufficient, and it's his unmerited favor for us. You cannot earn God's love. It's not for sale. You can't buy it. You can't do any type of performance. It's not for sale. It's a gift. And he wants to give it to us. And salvation is a gift, and being saved is the acceptance of the gift of salvation. So if somebody in the natural hands you a gift and you reject it, it's the same concept. God is giving us the gift of salvation. It's a gift, and he's handing it to us. And many of us have rejected the gift of salvation. Some have just write out, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe, so I, you know, just straight out blunt with it. And then there's others that's not blunt with it. It's us that say we're Christians that's not blunt with it, but our behavior is the same thing. It's the rejection. Our behaviors, our unwillingness to be obedient to God's commands, our unwillingness to follow God, to trust God. But we wear the banner. I'm a believer. Oh, thank you, Lord. But then we can't follow simple instructions. Obedience. And it's a gift you accept through faith and faith alone. The gift of, you don't know. You know, you reading the word of God, it's by faith. It's a faith walk. Being a Christian is a faith walk because you don't know at the end of the hour. You've never been to heaven and come back to tell. You know, we've had people that said that they had an out-of-body, out-of-death experience. We've heard those things, but you yourself have never died and come back. I could say I've experienced God's presence in my life. I've seen God's miracles. Signs and wonders have I seen from God, which has increased my faith. Reading his word has increased my faith. But I have to have faith to know that because I've never seen I've never had an introduction. I've never seen a picture. Everything is by faith. I'm hoping that this gift of salvation that I have received, it's going to give me eternal life because that's what the word says. That's by faith. That's by faith that you make that decision. And when I think about it, even as I'm speaking and I'm bringing forth this word, it says to me that believers who have truly made a decision to follow God, that's an amazing step, an amazing journey. It says a lot about the person because you are walking blindly and you're saying yes to this God, this creator of heaven and earth. You're saying yes. And that's faith. And that's strong faith. There's a ministry that I'm out of and my mentor, they do adult and youth leadership. They have an adult and youth leadership program, curriculum. And with the adult leadership, they have seminars. And in these seminars, they do various they do various little skits to help you in your faith and to help you understand the Word of God. And one that comes to mind is they get this chair and they'll call up for a volunteer. Maybe I should be saying this because somebody might want to go and now they ain't going to do what they're supposed to do. But I got to move forward. I'm just being obedient and the Spirit is telling me to say this. But they do this skit, and what they do is they bring up a chair, or actually they don't bring up a chair, but they bring up a person, and they tell this person that there's a chair here, it exists. It exists. And that person say, look at them like they're crazy because he's looking and there's nothing there. But when we say that we're women and men of God and we have great faith, that's what faith looks like. I'm telling you there's a chair there. Do you believe there's a chair there? And then this person has to make a decision by faith that there's a chair there. What does this person in essence have to do? Because he's there, he has the teacher that's teaching, and the teacher has a couple of assistants. So this person has to come up there and they got to make a decision really because there's no chair visually there. So they have to make a decision. Am I going to trust this man of God that's telling me there's a chair there? Do I trust his character? Do I trust his integrity? Do I trust his accountability? And oftentimes people don't. Many of people cannot successfully complete that test because they don't have the trust. And that's the same way with us and God. Most of the time, people are disobedient to God because they don't believe that he's God. They don't trust him. And when we don't trust, it's hard for us to step out in faith. It's hard for us to step out and do things that we can't see. So when God tells us to start a new business, when God tells us to go do this, we can't see the end result of it. So if we don't trust God, we're not going to do it. Amen? We're not going to do it. If God told you that he wants you to move to Biloxi, Mississippi, you've been in sunny California all your life, but something inside told you, the Spirit of God inside you told you, I want you to move to Biloxi, Mississippi. You don't have a job. You don't know what it's going to hold, but he's telling you, if you go there, I got something great for you. If you go there, some things is going to turn around. How many would just get up and move to Biloxi, Mississippi? Not many. And as a result, because we don't trust God and our faith is not there yet, we may miss out on a great opportunity. So we know that this is a faith walk. It's a faith walk. And it's by faith alone. So you're receiving the gift of salvation. I went on one there. But I guess God wanted it to be said. But if you are receiving the gift of salvation, it's through faith and faith alone. Now, if you will, turn with me to Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Revelation is the last book in the Bible. Is the last book in the Bible. Yes, tonight we're talking about salvation. We're talking about being saved. I've heard people say, well, the only way you could be saved is if you do this, or if you do this, or if you say this three times, or if you say this one time. But we're reading the Word of God. This is not Denise. I always encourage my listening audience to always have your Bibles in front of you. Jot down scriptures so you could go back and read them for yourself. Because oftentimes we'll listen to someone else and we don't even know if the scripture they're quoting is the right scripture. I've misquoted scriptures before. I read a verse that was in a totally different book. So we can't depend on man alone. We got to know for ourselves. We got to study ourselves and know what the Word of God says for ourselves so that we can't be misled, because it says in these last days that even the elite will be deceived. There's a lot coming up. There's a lot of new religions. There's a lot of new religions that's coming out. Over the last 20 years, There's all kind of new religions, Scientology and this and that and this and the new moon and the bright stars and the this and the this. We got all these new religions that's coming out. And if you don't know the word of God, it's going to be easy to get sucked up. Disaster, spiritual disaster preparedness, that's a disaster. To get caught up in a cult. To get caught up in the new moon religion that don't represent the one true God. That's a disaster, a spiritual disaster that could cause somebody. It could cause them to miss the mark. It could cause them salvation. So we got to know the word. It's important. You can't, if you can't read, because some people, they can't read. But it used to be a time, 100 years ago, that would have been a problem. Because if you couldn't read, you had to trust a man or a woman to tell you what their interpretation of the Bible was. And guess what? If they couldn't read that good, what kind of interpretation? Now can you see why we are right now where we are? Think about it, in the world where we are. Because there was a time where, and I'm talking specifically in the minority communities, a lot of them weren't able, they weren't allowed to learn how to read. So they had to trust somebody who was burning the midnight candle trying to learn and pronounce words and give their interpretation. And so as a result of that, many just didn't get it. We didn't understand. And so I'm saying this, we need to know the word. And if you don't know how to read, now in this modern day technology, they have Bible on audio. Many people's phones. Bible Gateway is an app that has audio. So you don't even have to read. If you don't like reading, then all you have to do is click a button and it'll read the Bible for you. If you don't understand, Google. Google, you could Google and find out what something means, what a word means, what does this scripture mean. They have commentary to break it down for you. One of the best things you could do, probably one of the best things you could do in addition to trying to read your words, which you should do, is that's what fellowship is about. That's what church is, that's what the building's about. We are the church, you. As a believer, you're the church, but the building, the fellowship with other saints, that's where you go and you can begin to learn more about the Bible. The man of God, if you're in a good place and have a man of God that's a good teacher, he could break the word down for you. He could answer questions in Bible study if you go on Wednesday night. And you could get it broken down. You could ask questions and get those questions answered. But there's so many ways that we could verify and qualify the word of God in this day and age. Find you somebody that you know is a believer that you trust and have them help you go through the word of God. Amen? So Revelation, the last book in the Bible, chapter 3 and verse 20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." This is simplistic. He's standing at the door and he's knocking. He's saying, when you get that tug on your heart, if you haven't given your life to the Lord, and some people don't even know, when do I know I'm supposed to? Now would be the time. But there's a confirming spirit that you'll feel. You'll feel a tugging. There's an inner urging that tells you it's time. You wouldn't miss it. And I don't know, for me, and that's my opinion. You may want to get the opinion of others. But I don't think that when God is calling you, I don't believe that you miss it. I don't think we miss it. It's an inner knowing when he's calling you. Now, we may ignore the call. We may run from the call. We may choose to not believe the call, but we know he's calling. We know he is calling. Amen? And I know I have a caller that has a question. And caller, I will be with you in just a moment. If you just give me an opportunity to just get to this, I'm going to open up the phone lines, and I appreciate you being patient. Probably about 5 more minutes, I'll open up the phone lines, and I'll definitely take questions and comments. So just give me one more second to break this down here. So we've learned in Romans 10:9 that we must confess with our mouth and believe with our hearts that Jesus is the Son, that he came, that he died, that he rose again, and that we believe that, okay? Then we learned in Ephesians 2:8 that we are saved by grace through faith. There's nothing that we could do. Nothing we could do. It's a gift from God, a gift that we have to receive the gift. And then receiving the gift, you have to open it up because it's the, like he said, just because you said it and just because you tell people you're a Christian don't mean that you are, because you have to be willing to follow God. You got to be willing to follow him. You got to be willing to give him your heart and give him your soul. And so I would liken that unto getting a gift, somebody giving you a gift, and you take the gift and you never open it. You just sit it on your dresser. What good is a gift that you don't open? It's good. Gives you warm, fuzzy feelings to know you got it. You know, when somebody gives you a gift, you get excited. And you want to just tear it open. So to take the gift of salvation and confess with your mouth and believe in your heart by faith, and then don't even open it up. Opening it up is giving your heart to him, giving your soul, following him, giving your life to him. That's the opening up of the gift, starting to learn of him. You want to know what's inside the box. Well, we want to know what's inside this gift. What does salvation mean? What is that gift about? What does it look like? For me, not only does it give me the gift of eternal life, that I'm going to live out the rest of my life with God, It shows me promises because I'm learning his word. I'm learning what his intent, what his plan was for me. I'm learning that he really loves me. That's what I learned in this gift of salvation. I'm learning that he loves me and that I'm on his mind and that he formed me from the foundation of the earth and that he knows me by name, that he knows every hair on my head. That he gave me the parents and the family that he gave me. That wasn't by accident. That everything I'm going through in my life, even when it don't feel good, even when it don't look good, is part of his plan for me, because he said that he's planned our lives in love. So even when I go through something that seems devastating to me, God got a plan. And I got to believe that. I got to believe he loves me that much, that he has a plan for my life, and it's a plan. Jeremiah 29:11 says, he knows the plans he has for us, and it's a plan of hope and an expected end, a plan to prosper. Amen. And so we need to know that. So that's what Ephesians is telling us, that it's not of our own. Then Revelation is telling us that he's constantly knocking. He's knocking at their heart. For those who won't receive the gift, he's knocking. And he's saying, if you open the door and let him in, he'll come in and he'll sup with you. He'll sit with you. He will be in. You'll know he's there. His spirit will be live in you, and it will guide you and navigate you through this walk of faith. It'll direct you. You become sensitive to his spirit in you. That sensitivity say, ooh, I can't sleep with her no more until I marry her. Ooh, I can't hang out with this crowd no more. Ooh, I can't do that no more. It was okay for me to do it back then, but it ain't okay for me to do it now. I'm not comfortable. Oops. Ooh, I can't cheat on my income tax no more. And it's not all a sudden. It's a walk. It's a journey. It's a faith walk. You learn. You grow. You make a mistake. When you make a mistake, oops, wrong way. Let me get back on track. That's what it is. That's what this walk is. Amen. And so he says he's at the door. He knocks. Anyone that hears his voice, open the door, and he'll come and he'll eat with us. He'll be with us. He'll show us. His spirit will be ever present in us. You got to ask yourself on tonight, have you opened the door? Have you invited Jesus into your life? He's made a promise that if we invite him in, that he will come in. And if you've taken the steps, you can know that you're saved. And I said the steps. I said that this show was about spiritual disaster preparedness. And it is, because there's going to be some spiritual disasters, just like there's natural, there's spiritual. You know, and we see the natural because we're seeing the natural with our own eyes. We're seeing. But guess what? What about those people who died in these natural disasters? What about those people? Did they receive the gift of salvation? Do you know that any day there could be a spiritual disaster for you? Meaning there could be, not a spiritual disaster. Let me not say that. At any day, a natural disaster could take you out of here. And if you didn't receive the gift of salvation, that's a spiritual disaster. Another spiritual disaster is going through trials and tribulations and not knowing the word of God, not knowing that there is a God that's working all things together for your good because you love him and you're called according to his purpose. That's a promise for a child of God. And I want to say this, and I know this. Sometimes we have to say stuff that we know is not going to be popular, that we know people ain't going to like. I'll probably get deleted. I know I'll probably get deleted, but I believe this in my heart. I can remember one time a friend of mine was very ill, and she was in the hospital. I ain't going to call that. I'm just saying the experience. And I remember one time a friend of mine was very ill, and she was in the hospital, and I asked a woman of God that I know is a woman of God. I know her life is surrounded in the word of God, and she is honoring God in her life. And I asked her, would she come to the hospital and pray for my friend? And she told me no. She said, I'll pray for their salvation, but I'm not coming to the hospital to pray. And I was devastated. I couldn't understand why she would say, no, she's not going to come to the hospital. I was like, really? You know, who does that? That's cold. But I wasn't, you know, I had accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, but I still didn't know. I was still very immature. I was still living my carnal life, living life, you know, to the best of me, living life. I thought life was about you just live life and then you die. And then I realized as I began to grow many years, 30 years down the line, I understand what that woman of God meant, because I see it on the earth now. There's so many people that ain't saved. There's so many people that don't honor God, that don't honor the Son of God. But yet when disaster comes, they want to pray. They want you to pray for them. They want you to pray for the circumstance and the situation. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we can't intercede for people, but we better be interceding for their salvation. We better be praying and believing that they're going to accept Jesus Christ. That's what the prayer should be, that they come into the full knowledge of Jesus Christ, because it's just like you have a child, and this may not, I don't know, somebody could push back, and I'm okay with that, but this is my analogy. This is only Coach D. This don't say it in the Bible. This is only me. But my analogy would be that I have a children. I have a son, and he's, you know, and it would be like my son's friend coming to me and asking me to buy him a car. Love you. You're my son's friend. You're a friend of the family. I love you, but really, you coming to me and asking me to buy you a car? Why aren't you going to your own parents and asking your own parents to buy you a car? This is just an analogy. And so I feel the same way about Father God. Because Father God, everybody always want to call out to God when they're in trouble. They want to call out to God when trials and tribulations and disasters and things happen. Everybody want to call out to God. Now everybody know God, and everybody want prayer. But the prayer is that I pray that if you don't know him personally, if you have not followed Romans 10:9, if you're not operating in Ephesians 2:8, if you haven't answered Revelations 3:20, that's my prayer for you. Because once you do that, if you have access to the King of Kings, then you could believe and trust through faith that your prayers are being heard and that they're going to be answered. Because now you have a right to the throne of grace. And that's my take. Now, again, like I said, don't nobody go talking about, coach, I'm just saying that's my thing. Now, you have to pray and get revelation and get into the word for yourself and see. But I really believe that that should be our prayer for the unsaved, is that they get saved. Amen? And he promised that if we invite him in, he will come in. And if you've taken the steps, you can know that you are saved. And then it tells us, you know, 1 John chapter 5 and verses 11 and 12. 1 John is, again, most of these, I'm telling these scriptures are in the New Testament, because the New Testament speaks about, you know, that's where Jesus, the New Testament is about the gospel of Jesus, about salvation, the gift of salvation. And 1 John is going to be three books up from Revelation. So it's four books before Revelations is 1 John. And we're going to go to the fifth chapter in verses 11 and 12. And it says, "And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." It's just that coupling. 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12 is simplistic. Not Coach D, not my opinion. It's the word of God. It's saying that this is the record, that God has given us eternal life, the gift of salvation. In that gift is eternal life. When you open up that gift, it's eternal life. And this life is in the Son. In other words, eternal life is directly connected to his Son. Eternal life is directly connected to his Son. Why are you saying that, Coach D? Because there's many religions. There's a lot of religions. And I'm not going to badmouth or talk about religions, but I'm saying there's a lot of religions. But my belief tells me that salvation, eternal life, is directly connected to the Son of God. And we know that the Son was the Word, was the Word made flesh. And God is the Word. So that God, so if it's directly connected to the Son, that would tell me that outside of the Son, because that's what chapter 12 says, or verse 12 says in chapter 5, he that hath the Son hath life. So if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, guess what? You have life. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you have not life. It's just that simple. No ands, no ifs, no buts. It's simple. You accept Jesus, you have life. You don't accept Jesus, you don't have life, period. We get confused. Oftentimes people get confused because of our faith on their feelings. I think feel is one of the most dangerous words in Christianity. I feel, I think, because salvation is not about how you feel. Again, remember we said that? It's not about how you feel. It's a faith walk. And faith, we said again from Hebrews 11:1, that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. God is not concerned with our flesh, because in our flesh is no good thing. Well, guess what's in our flesh? Our five senses. Our five senses. That's your what you see, hear, feel, taste, and smell. And most of us is governed by our five senses. Ooh, she looks good. Ooh, she wants to get with her. That's our five senses. Ooh, that tastes good. I want to eat some more of that. And we know we ain't supposed to be eating it. Ooh, that feels good. our five senses. Most of us is governed by our five senses, and when we and that's really in rebellion to God's word. So it's five senses versus God's word. Are you going to go by what you see, what you hear, what you taste, what you smell? Are you going to go by the word of God? Again, we ain't going to, feelings are temporal. They're subject to change. One day I might feel like I'm not saved, and the next day I may feel like I'm saved. And if I base everything based on my emotions, my five senses, then guess what? I'm going to be constantly roller coasting. And I mean, constantly. I already struggle with that anyway. We do, because we're in the flesh and we're constantly at war. The flesh is constantly warring with the spirit. We're constantly fighting as believers to stay on track, to walk in the spirit so that we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. As believers, that's what we're doing. We're constantly trying to stay on track. And so we're constantly warring the flesh with the spirit. So we got to know that this, the worst thing as a Christian we can do is based on our feelings. Our feelings could be affected by circumstances. Right now, I may be happy. But tomorrow, things could change. I could wake up tomorrow and hear something on the news that could change my joy to sadness. That's a feeling. It's changing. It's temporal. But God's word is forever. It don't change. It's the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. And we got to stand on his word. We got to know his word. And we got to combat our emotions with his word. The promises of Jesus and the word of scripture, period. That's what we have to stand on. Amen. Finally, and I'm going to open up the lines, but the last thing I want to do is finally look at the book of John. And the book of John, again, is in the New Testament, and the book of John is the fourth book in the New Testament. Remember I said 1 John before, so 1 John is different from John. So 1 John is closer towards the end of the New Testament, and just the book of John, the Gospel of John, is in the it's the fourth book of the New Testament. So we're going to look at John chapter 10, verses 27 through 29. And then we're going to be opening up the lines. And what it says here, I love this. This is really one of my verses that really just remind me. Because sometimes we do, with life, it could become overwhelming. And when life becomes overwhelming, we have a tendency to lean to our five senses and we start questioning our salvation. We start questioning, do I really belong to God? Am I really submitting myself to God? And sometimes we make bad choices in life and bad decisions and maybe act in ways we know is not pleasing to God because God didn't get the glory in it. And so we start questioning, Lord, you know, God, when will I ever just get it right? When will I be perfect? And so we start questioning, and this verse kind of reminds me, you know, that how do I know that I belong to him? And he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. That is the most reassuring verse for me, because when I'm lonely and I'm afraid and sometimes I'm feeling like I'm disconnected from God and I'm wondering if he's there. Sometimes I feel that me and him have an exchange, and sometimes I feel like he gets silent on me. And I'm wondering, and this verse is just comforting. It reminds me that I do belong to him because I have taken the necessary steps to receive the gift of salvation. And I'm trying, and I am giving him my life. And even when I'm blowing it, I have to remember that nobody could pluck me from his hands because I belong to him. The enemy can't have me. He can't have me because I'm stamped. I was brought with a price, and I'm stamped with the blood, and he can't have me because I belong to God, and God has a plan for me, and he has started a good work in me, and he will continue that work until he comes, and I know that. I know that. I know that there's nothing that that I could do. There's nothing that could separate me from His love. And so because I know that, I immediately know when I'm wrong, and when I'm wrong, I turn around and I repent, and I repent, and I acknowledge that I'm wrong, and I ask God for forgiveness. And I often wonder that in the Garden of Eden, in the book of Genesis, when Adam and Eve ate the fruit, whatever that fruit was, I often wonder at times that had Adam and Eve just repented, if they were able to just say, "Lord, we blew it," I wonder if the whole story would have read differently. I just wonder that. So I'm going to just right now go ahead and I'm going to answer some calls. And if you are listening in and you have a question or comment, please feel free to dial one on your dial pad. Caller, area code 682, last four, 0717. You are live. Okay. So again, if you are on the line and you have a question or a comment about tonight's show, let's say you're on the line and you have never given your life to Jesus Christ. If that is you on tonight, you don't have to say your name. You don't have to be in fear that people will know. But what I want to say to you on tonight, if that is you, and you would like to say, if you would like to say the prayer of salvation, the sinner's prayer, then dial one on your dial pad, and I would love to have that prayer with you. If you are giving your life to the Lord and life got heavy, things begin to happen, you got overwhelmed with life, and you backslid, and you know you're not where you're supposed to be or where you need to be, and if that is you and you just want to say a prayer of repentance and you would love for me to pray with you, then dial one on your dial pad, and I'll have that prayer with you. Again, tonight's show was very basic, but it was the most important show out of all the shows I've ever done, and I have a lot of favorites. But I think this was the most important because all the shows we have, all the churches we have, all the conferences we have, none of that means nothing if you don't know that you are saved, if you have not taken the steps to know that you belong to God and that you've confessed, you know, and that you know that you're saved. And it's amazing. We just take for granted because we know that everybody do. But I know I've had some conversations in recent days where I've talked to people who thought they were Christians 10, 20 years. We find out that they really never gave their life. They just thought they were saved because mama was saved, and I used to go to church with grandma. I know all the hymns. I know all the songs. I know how to take communion. I know how to get happy. I know how to do the happy dance. I know how to yell. I know how to shout. I say amen. Because I've been doing this all my life since I was a little kid when I was going to church with grandma. But somewhere down the line, grandma forgot to have them get saved. And they never got saved as they got older. They just assumed they were, but they never literally spoke it. And then they said they've been in church for 10, 20, 30 years and never figuring out why I can't get past this or why I can't get past that. Why am I not understanding the word? Why am I still shacking up for the last 12 years with a man or a woman that I ain't married to? Why is that okay with me? No condemnation. But what I'm saying is that may not be your fault right now, but now it's going to be your fault because you're coming into the knowledge. You're no longer ignorant about it. Tonight God had you to be on this call for a purpose because He knew what He was going to have me speak. He knew what He was going to speak through me. So He had you listen in to this show on tonight so that you could no longer be ignorant. Now you know. If you're not operated in Romans 10:9. If you don't understand Ephesians, if you don't understand Revelation, well, Revelation is happening to you right now if you don't understand Romans 10:9 and Ephesians. Revelation is happening for you right now through this show, through the words that he's speaking through me. He is knocking at your heart. He's knocking at the door of your heart right now. He's asking you, can I come in? Can I reside there? Can I reside in the innermost part of you? Receive me. Accept me. Let me in. Let me help you. Let me heal you. The path from whatever hurts and pains. Let me heal you from that. I'm the only one that got the key to your peace of mind. The key to your eternal life. So right now he's knocking. Because he wants you to do better. Don't you just sitting in church just to say that you went to church. He don't want you sitting in the building just to say you went to building. He wants to know that you have a personal relationship with him because you receive the gift of salvation. Because when you do that and receive the gift of salvation and you begin to spend time with him, his spirit comes alive in you. And that's the spirit of God that helps you to understand the word of God. It's not through religion at all. The Pharisees was religious, and they still miss. That's the perfect example of religion, the spirit of religion. The Pharisees, they were religious. And because they were so religious, they missed the very essence of God being right in front of them through Jesus. We still do that today. We get so religious. And we get so caught up in religious rituals that we miss the very presence of Jesus trying to come into our lives, trying to navigate. We can't be religious. We got to be in relationship. And the only way you could be in relationship with God is through the gift of salvation, through Jesus. It's like he said, there's no way that you receive Jesus and you receive life, or you don't receive Jesus and you don't get life, period. So, Father God, we just thank you on tonight, Lord. Thank you for breaking down the word, Father God, and making it plain enough for a child to understand. Father God, we love you so much, and I thank you for your gift of salvation through your son. I thank you, Lord, that you sent your son, Jesus. He came, he died, and on the third day he rose again, Father God. And, Father God, that we who believe on him will receive eternal life. So, Father, we just thank you, Father. We ask that you open up our heart, that we will continue to grow, that we will continue to give our lives to you, that we will continue to follow you and know your voice, Father, and hear you and know that we belong to you, Father, because our actions speak louder than our words. So, Father, I thank you for each person listening in on tonight. Father God, I pray that for those who need to know you, Father God, who need to say the prayer, the sinner's prayer for the gift of salvation, Father God, that they will be willing and open to say that prayer, Father God, that you will send mature Christian laborers into their pathway, Father God, that they will receive the gift of salvation. For those, Father God, who have just merely fell off track, Lord, I pray right now that you minister to their hearts, Lord, that they will repent, that they will ask for forgiveness, that they will brush off their knees, and that they will get up and continue their journey. Father, I just thank you. I thank you, Lord, for your amazing grace, your unmerited favor, for surely your grace has been sufficient in my life and in the life of those around me, Father. And we just thank you for that amazing grace. Father God, we just thank you for the network, MCD, and its family of broadcast. Father, I pray, Lord, that not our will but your will be done, that you will continue, Father God, to bless and anoint this ministry, Father God, that it will speak a rhema word to your people, Lord, that not one person that leave from these shows, Father God, will leave the same as when they came in, Father God, but that they will be encouraged and empowered and educated, that they will have a closer walk with you, Father God, that they will knows you intimately, Lord, that they will begin to build personal relationships, Father. Father God, that they will know the promises that you have for them, Father God, as they process through life. Life is painful. Life is painful. Living in this flesh is painful. Father God, help us to process it as we pursue the purpose, which is Jesus, and begin to partake in your promises for our lives as believers. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for always, always showing up, for always being available, Father, to speak to your children if they're available and willing to listen. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, each and every one of you, for joining us tonight on Processing the Pain. We pray that something was said on tonight that will be a blessing to your life, that will cause growth, that will provoke you to purpose. We thank you for listening in. We thank you for your continual support. And we'll look forward to being with you again next week on next Thursday. Same place, same time. Know that you are loved and appreciated.
Surrender.